Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. We all would like to have all of our prayers answered. Otherwise, we wouldn't pray and ask God for whatever. And we've been talking about answered and unanswered prayers, and we looked at a prayer that God did answer in Exodus 32, where God relented of destroying the nation of Israel. For Moses in that prayer wasn't asking for a selfish reason. Now in 2 Kings 20, verses 1 through 6, we have an answered prayer there as well. At 2 Kings 20, verse 1 through 6. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Eternal, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Now notice, God had decreed that this king, King Hezekiah, which was king of Judah at that time, was going to die, just within a number of perhaps hours. And notice what Hezekiah did. Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Eternal. Now he says he turned his face toward the wall, indicating that perhaps he was on his deathbed and that all he could do was roll over with his face toward the wall and begin to talk to God. And verse 3, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Eternal came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord." And verse 6, "And I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Hezekiah reminded God that he had walked before him with a loyal heart, meaning he had and still was living in a way pleasing to God. He wasn't afraid to remind God of that fact. It wasn't a selfish prayer by any means, but it was a heart-rendering prayer. He was king in the nation of Israel, and Jerusalem was under siege at that time, and Hezekiah had been beseeching God to deliver Jerusalem from the Assyrian army. God heard and healed him and delivered Jerusalem. Hezekiah met God's requirements for answered prayers. He obeyed. He had faith. He didn't ask to consume it on his lust. He asked mainly for Judah's and Jerusalem's sake. Yes, of course, he wanted to be healed and live longer, and it was right and proper for him to do so and to ask God to heal him. Now, there are many prayers and examples in God's Word of answered prayers, and we could probably find some that weren't answered as well. But today, we're talking mainly about answered prayers. John 17 is a true Lord's Prayer. In this prayer, starting in John 17, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 20, I want to read. Verse 4 now of John 17. Christ is speaking to God the Father here, praying to God the Father. He said, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." Yes, like King Hezekiah, Christ reminded God that he had done what God had commanded him to do, just as King Hezekiah did. And in verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Now, Christ knew this was a promise that he would be glorified again after death, after he was resurrected. And he reminded God of that and told God that he expected it and that he was wanting that to happen as well. He continues with his prayer here. Mainly the whole chapter is the prayer of Christ before he was crucified. But notice in verse 20, he says, "I do not pray for these alone, but those who will believe in me through your word." Now in verse 4, Christ reminded God that he had obeyed him. And in verse 5, he asked God to glorify him. And in verse 20, he prayed for all that God would call through the years. Again, not a selfish prayer. Notice in Psalms 34, beginning in verse 15, God makes some promises to the righteous here. Psalms 34 and verse 15. The eyes of the Eternal are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Now, this is a promise that you and I can claim if we are living God's way, if we're righteous in God's sight, that is. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them from all their troubles. Another promise. Verse 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Now these are promises that God has made to the righteous. 1 Peter 3, beginning verse 10 through 12, speaks along the same line here. 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Now, Peter is telling us, instructing us, how to have a good and a happy and an abundant life, and to have answered prayers as well. Verse 11 says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Yes, turn away from evil. Evil talking, evil actions, evil attitudes and moods and so on. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Eternal are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Another promise that God has made us in the New Testament here. So it is very plain that for God to hear our prayers, we must be righteous, must be a righteous person, not righteous in our own eyes like the scribes and the Pharisees were, but righteous in God's eyes in the way of Jesus Christ. We must put on the righteousness of God and of Christ. Notice what God had to say in Job 36, beginning in verse 5. That's Job 36, verse 5. Behold, God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty in strength of understanding. He does not preserve the life of the wicked, but gives justice to the oppressed. Now that's another promise. Verse 7. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous. Notice that, my friend. God does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but they are on the throne with kings, for he has seated them forever, and they are exalted. Speaking of a future time, a future inheritance of the righteous here. In 1 John 3, beginning in verse 21, we read this. That's 1 John 3, verses 21 through 22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Now notice this, if our heart does not condemn us, if we know that we are obeying God, then our heart will not condemn us. Verse 21, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's an important key to answered prayer. Very important key. Yes, keeping God's commandments and doing the things that please him, which would mean being in a good and in a right mood, a good and a right attitude, loving and honoring God and his law and his word, and loving others as you do yourself, and loving God above self. It would mean putting God before all else. That's another requirement of answered prayers. And another requirement of answered prayers is found in 1 John 5, beginning in verse 14. 1 John 5, verse 14. Now this is a confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Yes, we must ask according to God's will. And if we do, God says he hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now that means we should know God's will, and if we meet the other requirements and ask according to his will, then we are guaranteed an answer. God doesn't bind himself as to when or how to answer, but he says he will, and that should be good enough for us. We leave the timing and the how to God. God answered Job's prayers when he prayed for others. Notice this in Job 42, beginning in verse 1. This is a very important key to answered prayer, is to make sure that it is not a selfish, a lustful prayer. Job 42, beginning in verse 1. Then Job answered the Eternal and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. In other words, Job came to the point that he understood God. He said he had heard of him, but now his eye sees him. He says, I see how you are. I see, at least to a much better degree, your character, God, and how you operate. Verse 6, therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. In other words, when God finally conquered Job, Job said, I abhor myself and I realize that I am nothing but dust and ashes in comparison to you. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, went and did as the Eternal commanded them. For the Lord had accepted Job, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Could that be there to teach us not to be selfish in our prayers? You notice God didn't heal Job until he prayed for his 3 friends there. So I ask, could that be an example to us that if we want our prayers answered, that we should make sure that we're not asking to consume it on our lust? As parents, you take care of your own. Now, you are concerned about your kids and people in general, but you are listening to and caring for your own. God is no different. God is very concerned for everyone. God loves everyone, but God says he listened to his own. That is, those that obey him, and he promises to answer when we ask according to his will. Well, my friend, I see my time is up. We'll pick this up in a future program. Keep listening. If you'd like to understand more about this topic and understand more about God and answered prayers and so on and why prayers aren't answered, we invite you to request our free articles. Can you believe the Bible? And what do you mean, repent? Now that's, can you believe the Bible? And what do you mean, repent? 2 articles that you need to read, my friend. They're eye-openers. And all you need to do to receive those articles is just call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080 and request, can you believe the Bible? And what do you mean, repent? Call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.